Morning, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy 3, verse 1 through 11. I'm going to read from a different version, so please just follow along. Next, we turned and went up along the road toward Bashan. And Og, king of Bashan, with his whole army, marched out to meet us in battle at Edrei. The Lord said to me, "Do not be afraid of him, for I have delivered him into your hands, along with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon." So the Lord our God also gave into our hands Og, king of Bashan, and all his army. We struck them down, leaving no survivors. At that time we took all his cities. There was not one of the 60 cities that we did not take from them, the whole region of Argob, Og's kingdom in Bashan. All these cities were fortified with high walls and with gates and bars, and there were also a great many unwalled villages. We completely destroyed them as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. But all the livestock and the plunder from their cities we carried off for ourselves. So at that time we took from these two kings of the Amorites the territory east of the Jordan from the Arnon Gorge as far as Mount Hermon. Hermon is called Syrian by the Sidonians. The Amorites call it Seir. We took all the towns on the plateau and all Gilead and all Bashan as far as Salika and Edrei, towns of Og's kingdom in Bashan. Og, king of Bashan, was the last of the Rephaites. His bed was decorated with iron and was more than 9 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. It is still in Rabbah of the Ammonites. Amen. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. I just pray for your presence to come, God, and for us to really hear from you and just to pray your prayers, God, and to worship you, and just we just give you this morning, you know. Thank you, God, for your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Sam is really sick, so please pray for him. He was sick on Sunday, right, when he preached, so he's not fully recovered yet. We'll just go through what I've been going through for my daily devotionals, which is in Deuteronomy, and I just have a few points I want to make. But first of all, Deuteronomy is kind of a long sermon that Moses is giving to the people of Israel before they enter into the promised land. So they've been through a lot together, and Moses knows, actually, that he's not going to make it to the promised land because of some things that happened. But he knows that they're about to enter, that the people that he's been leading for all these years is about to enter into the promised land. So he's giving them a long sermon, kind of a last sermon that he's giving to them before they go off. And basically, what it is it's his main message is to say, remember. Remember where you have come from, and remember what God has done for you in all our time in the wilderness. So if you look through Deuteronomy, it's just a lot of stories of what God has done in their time in the wilderness and how God has delivered them. And at the end of Deuteronomy, Moses actually tells the people of Israel and say, "Hey, you guys need to remember what God has done for you." And he gives them a warning. He says, you know, you're going to enter into the promised land, but when you do, you're going to have all this prosperity. God's going to bless you. God's going to give you the land, and God's going to give you crops, and God's going to do this and this and that for you. It's going to be awesome. But he gives a real strict warning and says, but that's the time where you're going to really have to remember. You're going to really have to be careful to remember what God has done and how God is the one that has led you through all these difficult times, brought you out of the land of slavery, led you through the wilderness, and has delivered you to the promised land. And he's blessing you now, but you're going to have to remember, you're going to have to be careful. Because it's like that in our lives too, right? When we're going through a tough time, when we're going through a wilderness period, or when we're in the land of slavery, you know, we're like bound by the enemy in whatever area, it's easy for us to think about God. It's easy for us to cry out to God and depend on God and say, Lord, you know, come and deliver. You know, it's easy for us to be desperate, you know, clinging on to the Lord. And when we're going through a wilderness period, it's easy for us to say, God, where are you? We need you. You know, come. And we're just desperate. And it's not difficult for us to remember God. But once we hit prosperity, once we hit breakthrough, and God just blesses you, like someone's unemployed, for example, and crying out to God, God, deliver, deliver. And he gets a job, and suddenly job takes over. You know, suddenly the work just gets busy, and you know, you stop coming to EMP because you're not hungry anymore. You're happy. You were with a job. The thing that you've been praying for has come, and you've gotten the job that you've been praying for. Or whatever. You know, it could be whatever, right? Whatever breakthrough we're praying about, whatever deliverance we need from the Lord. And but once we get it, it's easy for us to kind of get wrapped up in what God has given to us and to forget that it has come from God. And also to forget where we have come from, you know. So Deuteronomy is just a reminder for us. Hey, remember, you know, what are some things that God has done in your own life? You know, you look at your life now and the breakthroughs that has come into your life and kind of just the ways that you have grown so much in the Lord and in your family, how God has moved in your family, how God has moved in your workplace, in your relationships. Remember where you have come from, you know. Remember what it was like before God moved in your life. And before God brought deliverance and salvation and just breakthrough after breakthrough in your own life. So that we don't get prideful. I'm just reading through 2 Chronicles. That's also something that I'm reading through. And just this morning, I think I read about 3-4 kings. And every single one of them, they start off well in the Lord, obeying God, and good things keep happening, and they get prideful, and they turn away from God, you know? So let's remember, you know? This morning, take a moment to just remember and thank the Lord for what he has done, how he has brought you, and where he has brought you from. So let's do that. That's number one. That's remembering. And the second thing I want us to look at is in verse 2, right? So in verse 1, it says, next, we turned and went up along the road. So right before this chapter, actually, there's another part where God brings them through another victory. They go to another city. It's a Sihon, king of Heshbon. And they go have another great victory of the Lord. And then so next they turn to to Bashan. And Og is standing outside marching to meet them in battle. And it says in verse 2, the Lord said to me, do not be afraid of him, for I have delivered him into your hands, along with his whole army and his land. Interesting. He says, don't be afraid of him, for I have delivered him into your hand. What I want you to notice is God doesn't say, don't be afraid, for I will deliver this king into your hands. God says, I have delivered this king into your hands. And it's what PSAM has been teaching us all along with the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer says, God, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it already has been done in heaven, right? Means in heaven, in God's kingdom, in God's, what God has in store for us, God's will has already been done. And so we're just appropriating it down on earth through our prayers, through our partnership, through our obedience. So I just think it's really interesting that God doesn't say, hey, don't be afraid because I will deliver this guy into you. He says, don't be afraid because I have already delivered him into your hand, right? I have already done this, so all you have to do is just step into it, you know? Just partner with me. But you know, that was the same thing with the promised land, you know, before all this wilderness time. You know, the promised land, they're out right by the promised land, and they send in the 12 spies, they come back with a bad report. God had already given them the promised land, but because of their fear, they disobeyed God, and they didn't get to just receive what God has already done, right? So in your life, we need to kind of ask the Lord, you know, what has God already delivered into our hands. You know, the interesting thing is, God says, hey, don't be afraid, for I have already delivered this man into your hands. But, you know what? If these people of Israel don't step out in faith, they don't partner with God, they don't walk in obedience and say, God has delivered this guy, this city into our hands, so we're going to go take it. If they don't do it, they don't receive it, you know? God says, you know, in the heavenlies, I have already given this to you, but if you don't obey me, if you don't step out in faith and partner with me, you're not going to get to reap what I have done. So in our own lives, you know, what is God doing? How is God moving in your life? How is God at work in your life? And what are the things that God has promised you, breakthroughs that God says, I'm delivering this to you. I'm giving this to you so that we may walk this out in faith, you know, in obedience and perseverance. You know, we learn through experiencing God, discipleship class, right? That God is always at work in your life. And what we need to do is hear from God, find out what God is doing, and just join him in that. That's what we need to do. And the key thing is, you know, maybe a chapter before what we read today, God actually says specifically to the people of Israel, he says, don't go to this city, don't go to this city, don't go to this city, but go to these two because I've delivered these to you. These I'm not going to give to you. These I have given it to you, go for it. So we need to really hear from the Lord, right? It's not just, I want this, so I'm just going to do it and go for it. I want this, I'm just going to believe that God has given it to me. No, you need to hear from God. What is God saying he has given to you? And it's sometimes different from what you want, you know? So you got to hear from God and say, God, what is it? You know, praying and hear from the Lord what God has delivered to you. And then you step out in faith. And also another interesting thing is God says, I have delivered this king to you. But he says, do not be afraid. Which means even though all we're doing is just partnering with God and just joining in what God is already doing and what God has given to us, we're still going to face fear. You know, when we have to partner with God in doing something that God has already done, we're still going to be afraid. We're still going to have courage to step out in faith to kind of appropriate what God is doing in our lives, right? It's not a just easy, just automatic kind of thing. So, you know, think about it. What are some things God's delivering into your hands? What are the breakthroughs? What are the promises that God has given to you? How is God moving in your life? You know, is it, you know, breakthrough in your ministry, breakthrough in your work, in your family relationships? You know, I think for one of the things for me is my relationship with my parents. It's something I've been praying about. And, you know, relationship with your parents, I think, is something we constantly work on. You get a little bit of breakthrough, and then some other issue comes up, so you pray through that, and you get a breakthrough. But there's some things that I'm praying about, and I feel like God's saying, yeah, I've given this to you. So I just need to step out in faith and just do the things I feel like God's asking me to do to really kind of receive this blessing, this breakthrough that God has given to me. So partnership, let's remember that. That's the second thing, partnership. And the last thing I want to look at is, so they go, they obey, they're good people of God, they obey God and they go into the land and they have victory, right? Because God has delivered them. So once they walk in obedience, overcome their fear and walk in obedience, victory is going to come because God is true to his word. But look at what happens in verse 6. He says, the Bible says, we completely destroyed them as we had done with Sihon, king of Heshbon, destroying every city, men, women, and children. So I want us to pause there for a second and think about that. You know, God is using the Israelites, and the Israelites are entering into this land because God has given them victory, and they destroy men, women, and even the children. That's kind of messed up, you know? You know, like, we need to be in a place, what I'm trying to get to is we need to be at a place where we can read passages in the Bible that kind of are shocking, and we need to come to a place where we can ask God questions and say, God, what's going on? You know, we don't just gloss over things that don't make sense. We kind of stop and say, God, that's messed up, you know? So we would understand, yeah, men, like, of course, they're fighting against you, so we destroy the men. And even the women, they could be very evil women, worshiping idols, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, we destroy the women, fine. But children, you know, innocent children, babies, why would God have the Israelites destroy all the children? And don't look at me for answers because I don't know. But I'm just bringing it to you. I'm saying, hey, you know what? It's okay for us to wrestle with God in things that come in the Bible that we don't understand. You guys know what the word Israel means? Yeah, you wrestle with God and you prevailed. That's the name that God gave to Jacob. So then his name becomes Israel. You have wrestled with God and prevailed. And that's the name that God gives to his people, the very first people that he wants to relate to in the Bible. The name that he gives is you have wrestled with God and you prevailed. And so I think God likes it when we wrestle with him. God wants us to be a people that will go to God and say, God, this doesn't make sense to me. You know, and for some of us here, I mean, this might not be the question, you know, the problem passage, but there are other problem passages, you know, that come up. You're like, what the heck? I don't understand. That does not look like what God will do. You know, a good God, a loving God, you know, why would he do something like this? And it's okay for us to wrestle with God. You know, it's okay for us to go to God and say, God, this doesn't make sense to me. You wrestle with him. And I'm going to give you an illustration to kind of compare our relationship with God in human terms. And then the best relationship that we can compare it to is that of a marriage relationship, you know? Because when we say we come into faith in God, when we say we're going to believe in Jesus Christ, it's not just an intellectual, like I say in my head that Jesus is a savior and I'm going to live for him. It's not just an intellectual thing. Really, what we're doing is we're entering into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. We're entering into a covenant relationship with God and saying, God, you are my husband, and I'm going to live for you, I'm going to love you, and I'm going to live my life for you. That's the kind of relationship that we have, right? So let's say, for example, that I have been married for 20 years, okay? So just think, imagine you have been married for 20 years, and you go to the mall, right? My example is, so I go to the mall. I've been married for 20 years. I go to the mall, and in the mall, I see this young lady, and she's very, very scantily dressed, you know, and she's being very seductive, you know, with the way she's walking, and everybody around her is like looking at her, checking her out, and just, it's not a good sight. And I just know that what this girl is doing is not right. You know, it's not good for her. It's not good for the people around her. She shouldn't be doing this. She shouldn't be dressed like that. She shouldn't be doing the things that she's doing. But I am not going to do anything about it. Like, I'm not going to go to the woman and put a shirt on her or whatever. I'm not going to talk to her. I'm not going to confront her because I don't have a relationship with her, right? So I'll see that and I'll just let her be. I'll look away. Make sure I'm not lusting or anything. I look away, but I just let her be because I don't have a relationship with her. But let's say I go to the mall and I see this lady and she's strutting her stuff and it's bad. Like, she's badly dressed and doing all these things. And I look a little more closely and I find that that's my wife. My wife is the one that's dressed inappropriately in the mall and walking around doing all these things. Then what am I going to do? I'm going to go up to her and say, what are you doing? I'm going to confront her and say, you shouldn't be doing this. And I'll put my jacket on her and say, let's go home right now. You know, this shouldn't be. And the point I'm trying to make is, you know, some people, that if they don't have a relationship with God, they'll look at a passage like this and they'll just dismiss him. They'll just say, oh, crazy God. You know, God's not a God of love, whatever. You look at these things and they just dismiss him and they don't come into a relationship with God. But also on the other side, they will look at God doing these things, and they won't even question. They'll just accept him. You know what that is? That is like I'm looking at my wife doing all these things, crazy things, and I'm not confronting. I'm just saying, that's okay, you know. Wife, I love you. Come home, you know, and not saying anything about it, you know. But the appropriate thing for us to do, if you have a covenant relationship with that person, is for us to question and confront and wrestle and say, what are you doing? What you're doing is not right. You should figure it out, you know? And in the same way, when we have a relationship with God, when we enter into a covenant relationship with God, we've kind of moved past just ignoring God and saying, oh, God is whatever. But a lot of us, for some reason, we come into this place where in our faith, we just say, we'll look at these passages and we'll just kind of gloss over them. And we'll say, you know, that's God, you know. I don't understand, but we're just going to move on. And we don't even let these things bother us. And I think that's just being dishonest in a little bit in our relationship, you know, with God. And when these things, when questions come out, when things come up in the Bible, you're reading, you're like, I don't understand this. We need to be, you know, if we are truly like have a covenant relationship with God, we question, we wrestle with him and say, God, what is this? What are you doing? You know,
sorry.
What are you doing? You know, you wrestle with God and say, this is not right. And I think that's what God wants from us. You know, you look at people like Abraham, Moses, they all wrestled with God. God says, I'm going to do this. And they say, what? God, come on. You can't possibly do something like that. You're a God of love. You're a God of justice. You know, and, you know, great men of faith, they all wrestle with him. So I just encourage you. I don't know the answer why God would say, kill all the men, women, and children. I have some theories. I have some things that I've wrestled with God, some understanding that I have. But we need to do it, you know, personally. Walk with God and say, God, you know, what's going on? So that's the third thing, and we'll stop there. Jisun's going to come lead us in worship. But let the Holy Spirit come and speak to us. First, about just remembering what God has done, right? We look back at what God has done. We look back at where we have come from. And, you know, if we truly, like, think about that, we can't help but be thankful that, at God's grace and his goodness, you know? So let's remember. And secondly, about partnership, right? God said, I have delivered this man to you, so now go and take it. So what is it that God has already delivered to you? You know, what is God's will that's already been done in heaven that you just need to step into? You know, and don't think for a, you know, don't think that God is not at work in your life. He's at work in your life. Let's not be so complacent or so comfortable that we're not looking for how God is moving in our lives. So let's ask God, say, God, what are you doing in my life right now? How can I join you in that? How can I partner with you in that? And the third thing is just wrestling with God, you know? Let's not be so spiritual that when we come to passages that we don't understand, we just say, oh, well, that's God, you know? My faith in God remains strong. You know, it's okay that our faith shakes, that our faith struggles, and that we wrestle with God in these things, because that's honest faith, you know, that's honest relationship with God. So three things, and let's just allow God to come and speak to us. Thank you. pray together. Let's just pray for ourselves. And let's just go before the Lord. And let's remember God. Let's remember where we have come from. Remember what God has done. And let's just be really thankful. Let's thank Him for what He has done. But also moving forward, what is it God is doing? What is the breakthrough? What is the thing that God is doing right now? Because He is at work in your life. And let's just ask Him, you know, what is it? And let's join Him in that. And so let's just spend a little bit of time just in prayer and just going before the Lord. Let's pray for our mission focus. China, let's pray for China, the Chong family, my parents, Matt and my parents, Chichihar kids. These are the kids that Pastor Sam Kim, we support as a church, and Pastor Sam Kim visits every now and then. And let's pray for the government of China. Let's pray for the churches, the underground churches, and the government approved churches. And also let's pray for our Beijing church plant. Let's pray just that God would really move and lead Pastor Sam Kim and Chris and Mary and other members. So let's just lift up China together. Pray for our staff. Please pray for Pastor Sam. He's feeling sick still. Let's pray for our elder board and our mission committee. Let's just pray that God would really speak to them. Let's just pray for their own personal relationship with God. The staff, as well as the elder board and the committee, that everything that we do, it comes out of our relationship, overflow of our own relationship with Him. So let's just pray for that for the staff and the elders and the mission committee members. So let's pray together. Let's pray for Febe Ministry. Let's pray for Pastor Salamat and his wife and his children. Let's pray for the leaders there. And let's pray that God will continue to bless Pastor Salamat and his family, and also the ministry. Let's also pray for the Korean church. I think they're still praying and looking for a senior pastor. So let's pray for just a peaceful time of transition for them. And let's bless the Korean church. So let's pray together for them. Thank you. Let's pray for our house churches today, Star Street, Seymour, and Nan Kwai Fong. Let's pray that it'll just be a great time of ministry and fellowship and intimacy, and that Holy Spirit would really move in each and every one of these house churches. Let's pray for our house churches today. Lastly, let's pray for our move. Let's pray for God's continual favor and provision for us, and also that our church would just be united and together behind this. And let's pray for just God's peace in this time, God's protection over this time. Let's pray that the enemy will not be able to come and just cause, you know, disruption or, you know, dissension because of this. Let's just pray for God's protection for this time as we are trying to move together. So let's pray for that. Father God, we thank you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your presence. We just want to be close to you. We just want to draw closer to you. You know, your word says, "Draw close to God, and He'll draw close to you." So I pray that you would really come and meet with us this morning as we pray, as we just come before you. Thank you for your presence. It's already here. We just pray for increase, God, of that, Lord. And I thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, God, that you are at work in our lives, God. And the promises that you have given to us have already been done in heaven. And we just need to step out in faith. So grant us the faith, the courage, God, to move forward, to partner with you. And we thank you for all that you have done, already done in our lives, God. And we just want to look to you and trust you, you know. So come, Holy Spirit, bless us today. Help us to live this day for you, God, honoring you and loving those around us. And just help us, Lord, in that. And we thank you, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.